while he's tuning up, I'd like to speak a minute. I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, first and foremost. And I was really nervous. I haven't sang in a long time since my father passed away in February, and he was the only one that ever played for me and that I felt comfortable with. But I feel like if God gives you something, you know, that you can minister to somebody else, you can use it. But, you know, this, when Danny's talking about people not being perfect, that's the title of the song, is I'm Not Perfect. And that kind of confirmed to me that, you know, I'm up to where I'm supposed to be. Amen.
You must say I'm weak if you see me fall. But God's grace is enough to cover it all. Lord, forgive me for the things that I have done. Help me live the best I can until you send your Son. Just forgiven. Thank God for grace. His blood covers me. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm saved. Jesus died to set me free. I'm not perfect. Been on me, so I make sure my light shines for all the world to see. Sometimes it may flicker, sometimes it may go dim. I'm not perfect, just forgiven for my sin. Forgiven. Thank God for grace. His blood covers me. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm saved. Jesus died to set me free. I'm not perfect.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Amen. I tell you what, their daddy must have done something right. He was their pastor all their life, and the Lord took him home to heaven. And his wife sitting back there this morning, Miss Diana, what about that? Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad the Lord is still blessing the family and using them.
Amen. Before Brother Danny preaches, I want to take a minute. You know, we announced last week that we would be honoring him for pastor appreciation this morning. And I think, is this your birthday, brother? Is it? Alzheimer's setting, he's kind of forgetting. But anyway, we're doing pastor appreciation and celebrating his 71st birthday. Is
that 72nd? Okay. I think it's 81st.
But anyway, how many of y'all appreciate Brother Danny?
Amen.
All we do, amen. We got a good pastor that preaches us the Word. That's the most important thing, that he preaches the Bible to us, gives us the truth, but he also takes time to help us and counsel us when we need him, and he's helped me many times, so we just want to show our appreciation as a church for our pastor.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Talk's cheap. Talk is cheap. Everybody. When you're an old pitiful person like me, you have to beg for every bit of help you can get. Go ahead, sister. I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, okay.
Got you. All righty. Appreciate that. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do this morning. Let's open the Bible to Genesis chapter 2. And since we're opening, since we're having our couples trip this weekend, it was on my heart to say something to our couples on our couples trips Friday. Well, the more I got to thinking about it, I thought maybe I should just say it to everybody. Because there's always people needing marriage counseling. Always. If you think you don't, you might need it worse than you think you do. We all need help with our marriage. So this morning, I'm going to preach about the perfect marriage. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verse number 21. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. Please, everybody listen. Give me attention. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Surgery. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. See that W-O in front of man. Womb. A man with a womb. The difference between a man and a woman. And he brought her unto the man. That's what every man's would plan. God's plan for every man would be for God to bring him the woman that he made for him. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two, and they shall be one flesh." And Adam, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now I want to preach about this morning, and this is to all the people in here who are married. This is also to all of you in here who are wannabes and wish that you were married. And this is to you that were wish you wasn't. And that are married that wish you were not. And this is for also for you that are I call you glad you ain't. And so everybody, so it's for everybody, in other words. The truth is this morning that we got a lot of people in this world that are having marriage trouble. And God put something inside of us that made us desire companionship. Now I will say something about this perfect marriage. You understand that this was Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Before men sinned. A lot of people have the idea that they say, "Oh, we got the perfect marriage." No, you don't. A lot of people say, "Brother Danny, we have the perfect..." No, you don't. They had one before sin came in the world. After that, the other day, when that storm was getting ready to hit, I was in Florida Sunday night, came home Monday, and as all everybody was talking about was that hurricane was coming. The wind was starting to pick up around here. We felt a little bit of it. And I turned on the news, and it said, the perfect storm is hitting up north, New Jersey, New York, around up the coast of Maryland, Delaware, up through there. And they were afraid. And they kept saying that over and over and over on the news. I don't know if anybody else thought, but as soon as they said that, I thought, that don't sound right. The perfect storm. And every time they said that, it would hit me wrong. I'd sit on there and say, the perfect storm. And that something would hit me wrong, and I thought, why do I have that feeling every time I see that perfect storm? And then I sat down and I thought, that's not the way you're supposed to talk. Whoever thought that up, don't think right. Perfect and storm don't go together. You get what I'm saying? There's no such thing as a perfect. It's like a storm's a disaster. That's like somebody came, two cars hit each other, and boy, you look at it and there's blood and guts everywhere, and you say, "You've had the perfect wreck." Yeah. See, you don't... That's like a man coming in saying, coming in, he's laying down, and I said, man, you need a bypass. You have had the perfect heart attack. That's not, them two words don't go together. Perfection and heart attack don't go together. Perfect and storm don't go together. And you know what I'm getting ready to say. Perfect and marriage don't.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. Marriage is something that's ordained by God, and since it's after sin, we got problems. And you've got problems if you're married, and you've got problems if you're divorced, and you've got problems if you've never been married, and you've got problems. This relationship business is, if you could write a book to help everybody in here find the perfect relationship and the perfect mate and get married and live happily ever after, you could be a millionaire. You could hire Donald Trump to mow your grass. You'd have enough money to do it. But the truth, you can't figure it out. You think you can, but you can't. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what they try to tell you on TV this morning, men and women are different. Big time. You say, well, I believe they're equal. You've lost your mind. I didn't say one was better. I said they're different. I mean, they're not only made different, they think different. And Lord, if you don't know that, you've got a lot to learn. I'm telling you, men and women are different. That's the blessed understatement of the year. I'm telling you, they're different. So I'm going to talk about it this morning, and I'm going to help everybody in here. It's unusual for me to do this on Sunday morning. But I thought, with a couple's trip coming up, you say, well, I'm not in a relationship right now, so this don't concern me. Whatever. Your time's coming. You say, well, I'm divorced, and I never want to see another one. I'm divorced, I never want to. I've heard a lot of them say that. And they're usually the first one down the aisle again. Now, the truth is, God made us to have companionship. God, we are made that way. I'm going to talk a little bit about the men. Let's talk to the men just a minute. One time I preached a series of sermons on marriage. I had six sermons, and I preached two hard sermons to the men, and then one to the women, and all the women started complaining, well, you ever talk about women? No, that's all you hear. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. This morning, I'm going to talk about the men. Now, let me tell you something about a man, ladies, that you might not know. Take it from me. I got nothing to lose. I'm being honest with you. You know what a man wants more than anything and needs? A man's basic need is honor. A man has to have honor. And a man cannot feel right. All little boys, there's something inside of a man's nature that he wants to be big and strong and Superman and tough. And the man responds majorly to a woman who makes him feel like he's Superman. If all she does is talk back down to him and he's stupid and he ain't got no sense and all that, he ain't gonna like you one bit. And, you know, if a girl comes up and she says, wow, you're strong. Wow, you're smart. Wow, you can do anything. He says, I like you. Yeah. He don't really like her. He likes how she's making him feel. Yeah. Do you understand that? A man's need is honor. He will say, when a man mows the grass, he mows that grass up there like that. He goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He likes for his wife to come out and say, honey, you are the best grass mower in town. Nobody's yard looks as good as ours. And you know, ladies, it don't cost you nothing to do that. That's what a man has to have. I've counseled a lot of people. I didn't start doing this yesterday. I've been through this with thousands of people, and the people who have the best marriages, I'll talk to the other side in a minute, the people who have the best marriages are the one where the woman is continually saying, he is such a good provider. He is such a good worker. He is such a... He is. You say, well, I can't say that. It'd be a lie. Well, we'll help you with that in a minute, too. You can find something good about him. He sure can change the remote good or something. I mean, you got to do something. So this one woman, she went to the grocery store the other day, and she's going through the grocery store, and she pulled out her pocketbook, and that remote control fell out of it out there on the counter. And the woman checking out the grocery, she said, why you got the remote control with you? She said, because this is how I punish him when he does something I don't like. I take this thing with me, and he can't lay there and change channels all evening. But anyway, a man's basic need is honor. Amen. That's why the Bible said, wives, see that she reverence her husband. You are the smartest man I've ever met. You are the strongest person. That's what he's got to hear. He's got to hear. Man falls in love with a woman that makes him feel good about himself. That's right. Now, let me tell you this about a man's biggest mistake. Men, here's your big mistake. Every man in here, listen to me. Your big mistake is this, and I learned this marriage counseling. Your big mistake is thinking, if I'm happy, she's bound to be. Now think about that for about 6 months. It's always like that. She's miserable, about ready to leave. You say, yeah, well, ain't nothing wrong with our marriage. We don't need no marriage, bro. Men think as long as they're happy and they got their belly full and everything go out, she automatically, well, if I like it, you bound to. And that includes every area of your life, and I mean every. Now, I'll tell you something this morning. Men got to get out of this thing of life. Well, men always think, well, if I like it, you should like it. You do, don't you? Why? You know, that's a man's big mistake. Your biggest mistake, men, is you think as long as you're happy that she's bound to be. I counsel people. I say, what's wrong with your marriage? He said, sir, nothing, I don't reckon. Would you like to say something? No. Buddy, she can flat tell you what's wrong with it. He's that, and he looks at her like, I didn't know that. It's because we're in our own little world, ain't that right, ladies? He's in his own little world. As long as he's happy and warm, got his belly full, he thinks that you should automatically be happy. Now that Bible said, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus didn't just sit up in heaven and just say, all right, you should be happy because I'm happy. Jesus went down, paid the price. He went down, gave his life. I said the Lord gave himself. Listen, man. You men want to be the right kind of man? Be willing to give yourself to your wife. Amen. Be willing to give it up. Get your time. Maybe give her some time. Maybe do what she wants to do. Take turns. Do anything. I'm telling you, a man's big mistake. A man who is happily married is success if he's failed in everything else. I said, a man who's happily married is a success even if he's failed in business or other things like that. He's a success. Love at first sight is easy. Love after looking at each other a few years is a miracle. That's what they say. Amen. Let me tell you something else, men. Let me give you men some advice. They don't hear what you say. They hear what they think you meant. Now, some of this stuff, it'll take some of y'all a few years to figure out what I'm saying. But you'll get it one of these days. They never hear. I just thought something out of clear blue sky. She comes in and she says, ladies, I don't know why y'all do this. It's a trick question. You're going to kill him either way. She comes and says, does this dress make me look fat? Well, the poor guy can't win, man. No matter what he says, he's had it. If he says no, he's lying. You're lying. If he says yes, he's dead. Don't ask him questions like that. Does this dress make me look fat? Well, you must think it does, or you wouldn't even ask that to start with. So she says, this dress, and a man says, no, and she says, here's what she says, you don't really mean that. I said no, didn't I? Yeah, but you mean yes. No, I mean no. If I'd have meant yes, I'd have said yes. They don't hear what you say. They hear what they think you meant. Now, nod your little heads, men, if you know what I'm talking about. They don't that drive you crazy? It drives you crazy that it don't matter what you say. Yeah, but I don't feel like you love me. I love you. No, you don't. I do. Shut up. I got one fellow who went to marriage counseling. He'd been married about 25 years. And the guy sat down there, and then the counselor asked the man, he said, do you love your wife? And he said, yeah. She said, well, he never tells me he loves me. He said, why not? And he said, I told you when we got married, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. That's the way men think. Amen? But anyway, a man's big problem is He thinks if he's happy, she ought to be. Now, without being too plain, you take that home and think about it for a while. You take that home and think about it. You automatically think, if I'm happy, she ought to be. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Amen? I'm telling you, brother, men's personalities are different than women. I didn't know this for years. It took me years to learn this. Men compartmentalize. I can do this really, really good. Men compartmentalize everything. What does that mean? Our brain, a man's brain, and we got little boxes like rooms. And we keep this in that box, and we keep that in that box, and we keep that in that box, and we keep that in that box. And I've got my bills to pay in this box, you know, and I've got my girl sitting over here in this box right here. And then I've got a pastor of this church. I've got people having trouble in the church. I keep that in this little, I can come in here and I can get in this box and I can think about our church and our problems. I forget my bills. I forget things over here. I forget what I've got to do tomorrow. I keep it all compartmentalized. When I have to deal with my girls, I can forget preaching for a few minutes and work with them, you know. I get it all. Whatever I'm doing, I can give it my... Now, women ain't made like that. Our brains are like boxes with different stuff in them. A woman's brain's like spaghetti. And I don't mean that bad. Everything's tied up with everything else. Right? If you don't say... Oh, honey, we're going out for your birthday. Oh, something happened at the mall 2 days ago at Walmart. And it affects how she thinks. It's like the woman who was it was her anniversary. You've heard the story. This guy, he's at work and all of a sudden it hits him. It's his anniversary. He forgot the last three or four. Suddenly he remembers his anniversary. And boy, he says, oh, I'm going to do something special for her. He calls and orders roses. He said, I suddenly forgot the last two or three. This time I'm going to get it right. I said, well, you can never forget her birthday, but you better never remember her age. You got to forget her age, but remember her birthday. And he said, so he went and got roses. He wanted to get them for his wife. He wanted everything right. And you know what? She was at home. She started out that day. It was awful. She had a headache. She's going through the house holding her head, side of her head like this. Her head was a-killing her. Baby started crying. She put a load of clothes in the washing machine. About halfway through that cycle, a pipe busted, that hose busted. Here comes soapy hot water all over the floor and the carpet. And she's going, oh, no, I'm about to die. She put the baby down. It is screaming. Got the mop. Started trying to mop up that old soapy mess and trying to get it out. And her head was just a-throbbing. And she thought, oh, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I'm dying. I'm dying. And the baby, wah! Telephone ringing, everything else. Well, back at work, old lover boy, he's sitting there, you know, and he said, man, I'm going to walk up to the door and I'm going to have these roses and it'll be love. It'll be just like when we first met. Oh, she's going to melt. Oh, we're going to have, it's going to be wonderful. Oh, we'll all fall in love all over again. She's at home. I mean, all you know what's breaking loose. It's the worst day ever. Her head's a busting. The baby's a crying. The water's on the floor. The phones are ringing. The old lover boy gets off work. Here he comes up to the front porch. And he walks up and he's got these roses like here. Ding! Hits the doorbell like that. And buddy, she comes through the house. And brother, when she comes through the house, I mean, brother, she, I don't know who that is. There's somebody trying to sell me something. I'm going to cuss them out. And she opens the door. And there he stands. Is again with them roses. And he thinks she's going to say, darling. She goes, slams the door right in his face. He said, what in the world? This ain't, how many of you men have thought, this ain't working out like I thought it was going to? You know what I mean, fellas? It's because you thought you ain't going to figure out how they're going to think. What gave you the idea you could figure out what a woman thinks? If you could figure out what a woman thinks, you could write. As a man said one time, he said, what men know about women, and it's all blank pages about that thing. He rings the doorbell again. She opens the door. What's wrong with you? He said, like, she said, this has been the worst day of my life. She said, the baby's cried all day long. I got a busting headache. Water's all over the floor. And the telephone's ringing. Everything went wrong. And you come home drunk. I'll tell you something, brother. You know what? In her mind, everything's connected to everything else. Man's like a dog, you know. He just throw him a piece of bread. He's happy. It don't matter how bad a day he's had. But a woman, what happened 10 o'clock this morning majorly affects how she feels at 10 o'clock at night. majorly. Like spaghetti. It's all like that. That ain't bad. God made you that way. To raise kids and be a baby. But somehow or another, it's all connected with everything else. Everything's connected. We got it all over here and over here and over there and over there. And we can put it out of our mind. I can put something out of my mind and do something else and not even think about the other. But sometimes it's all in your emotions and you put it all together. Well, that's a mistake. Men have a problem with that. Let me move on right quickly. A man, what did I say? A man's basic need is honor. Ladies, you want to do them right? Honor your husband. All right, let's talk about the women just for a second. A woman's basic need is security. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the feminists get on TV and say. And to say, we don't need men. We don't need... God put something in a woman. She needs to have security from that man. She needs to know she's going to be took care of. She needs to know the bills are going to be paid. A woman responds. Why do you think people say snakes and snails and puppy dog tails and all that? Men lie. Why do you think? I had some lady tell me this week. She said, I don't want no boy that's a sissy. And if you do, there's something wrong with you. I would worry if my boyfriend wore more jewelry than I did if I was a girl. I'd kick him to the curb, brother. I mean, you know what? A girl likes a guy. A girl likes a guy that he can get cut and blood running out of him, but he still plays on anyway. Right? You know what? They have a need for... He's strong. He'll take care of me. Now, that's old-fashioned according to the world, but it's biblical, and it's in your nature. A woman needs and wants security. She needs and wants security. Amen? Somebody to take care of her. The feminists can holler and whine all they want to, but you have that in your nature. What's a woman's biggest mistake? I told you what a man's biggest mistake. What's a woman's biggest mistake? A woman's biggest mistake is, if he'd just listen to me, I could change him. That's your mistake. Ain't going to happen. You think if you keep fussing at him long enough, that you can make him into the person that you want him to be. It ain't going to happen. A woman marries a man thinking he'll change. He don't. He don't! You better hear me, girls! He don't change! A man marries a woman hoping she won't change. She does. He's rugged. He's tough. He's got to be tough but tender. He's got to be rugged but sweet and gentle. Like that kid said, he's acting wedding, went to a wedding, come home and said, I heard the preacher say, do you take this man to be your awful wedded husband? One man told me, he said, the problem my wife is, he said, I never know how she's going to be. He said, I can come in one day and say something. I think she's going to get mad. She's going to get mad. And she's fine. I dread telling you this. And she'll say, oh, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. He said, I can say the very same thing a week later and she'll claw my eyes out. He said, I don't see why it didn't make her mad one time and then make her mad the other time. You know what I'm doing this morning? I'm marriage counseling everybody in here. For you that are too stubborn to admit you need it. And all the wannabes and wish-a-wattens. Say amen, Brother Danny. Amen. I know it's my birthday and all that kind of stuff. We're putting that aside, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about how we need God and need help in our homes. Closing this morning, let me give you a few thoughts. Every married couple in here this morning, here's my advice to you. You know my advice? I can give you some advice this morning. Won't cost you a dime. And you could go to a marriage counselor this week, and he couldn't tell you one thing. I don't care if you've been to school 100 years. He ain't going to tell you nothing better than what I'm fixing to tell you. Are you listening this morning? Are you listening? First thing every married couple in here ought to do, everybody, is wipe the slate clean. You got to learn how to start all over. Wipe the slate clean. Start over again. No hard feelings. I forgive you. Yeah, but you hurt me worse than I did. No. They're like, God forgives you. Does God forgive us? Say amen. Yes. All right, are we supposed to give each other? Say amen. Yes. That's right. You say, yeah, but what if they don't mean it? Well, what if God looked at you and said, you don't mean it? Amen? Listen, when I ask God to forgive me, He forgives me. He don't hold it against me and beat me and beat me and beat me over the head. Lady, I'm giving you some marriage counseling. Wipe the slate clean. Say amen. Right. I know how you feel. I've been there, done that, been through all this stuff. You feel like, well, if I forgive them, they'll think they got off the hook and they'll hurt me again. That's your problem right there. And you forgot the verse of Scripture that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God is well able to whip any kid that he is that gets out of line. Am I right? That's biblical. That's biblical. Our job is to forgive. His job is to punish. Now, I want to tell you something this morning as we get ready to go on your married couple's trip this weekend. Wipe the slate clean. Amen. I hate somebody keep dragging up something. If you've done the best you could do to make something right, and you've apologized and you've asked God to forgive you, don't you hate it when somebody keeps just beating you to death with it? The other day, coming home, I was in Florida at the airport in Fort Myers, Florida. It's way down yonder. Coming home Monday, and I told a couple people, Carrie, about this, and they kept asking. They asked me for my luggage, my bag. You know, you have your check-on luggage. You just check it in, and you don't see it no more. You get home, and then you have the carry-ons that you carry on the airplane. There's certain stuff that I carry on there because I don't trust them with it. My Bibles and stuff like that. Well, I have my Bibles under this arm, carry-on, and I had them in that suitcase, and they run it down through there. They stopped me and they said, sir, you're going to have to come back here and run that through there again. I said, okay, there's thousands of people going through there and everything. And they done scanned me one time. I had to stand in this thing. It looked like a tanning bed standing straight up. And I had to stand it like that, and they scanned me. And they said, you're going to have to come back and go through this again. I said, okay. They put my bag through there again. And they said, we've got a problem. I said, what? It's okay. You know, they started opening my suitcase, dragging out my stuff. I had shirts in there, and I had video equipment, and they was pulling out. I had a pack of goodie powders, and they was laying stuff out. I thought, Lord, I'm glad I didn't put something embarrassing in there. I mean, they was laying it out all over the, you know, and everything. And I stood there, and they said, you're going to have to come here, man. And there was four or five guards and stuff got around me, and I said, what in the world's wrong? They said, we're going to have to give you the pat down. And I said, okay, I've heard them fuss about this on TV, but I guess it'll be all right. And they said, do you want to go in there in another room and do it, or do it here? I said, what kind of pat down are you talking about, dude? I said, we're going to do it here, I reckon. Listen, I had to pull my shirt up. And they were sticking his hands. I started to smack that guy. I want to go, pow! That woman put in there, she pulled out, and she said, what are these? And I had some firecrackers in my suitcase from camp. I'd been in there since camp, and I forgot about it. And it was way down in the bottom of it, and I forgot all about it. They got me for trying to carry explosives on an airplane. I was a terrorist. You really think them little firecrackers are going to blow that airplane up? They don't take stuff like that as a joke. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I'm sorry, y'all. I said, that was at youth camp, and I forgot them was in my suitcase. And that lady, she kept digging down there. There's five or six. There's old nasty pennies and junk down in there where I've been camp. And she pulled him out. And they said, you know, man, they give me that pat down. I stood like it. I mean, they pat you down. Let me tell you, it was embarrassing. And people was looking. People was walking by looking at me. I thought, oh my Lord, don't let them do something to me. Don't let them charge me and get in the newspaper that I brought explosives on an airplane. And I said they didn't catch it when I was coming down here in Charlotte. And somehow or another they picked it up, and I forgot all about that. And I got to thinking about that, how awful I felt. Take somebody that was at camp, and I didn't even know they was in there, and then they brought up against me like that. And that's the way people do your past. That's the way people do their mate. Listen, if something's gone, if it's under the blood, amen? If it's under the blood, people, and the blood of Jesus has washed it away and it's gone, it ain't going to do no good to bring it up and go, let it go! Let it go! Wipe the slate clean this morning. They did let me go, by the way. They took pictures of everything I had. They took a camera and took pictures of everything I owned. Like that. And they let me go, but they kept my firecrackers. And you got to wipe the slate clean. Another thing you got to do quickly. How about everybody in here do this? Make up your mind that you're going to try to please your mate. Talked to a lady the other day. It was almost embarrassing. She said, "Brother Danny, pray for me. They don't go to church here." She said, "Pray for me and my husband." She said, "It seems like as long as he's happy, it don't matter about me. What about me and my needs?" That's what she said. And she's getting ready to leave him. She's getting ready to leave him. Try to please your mate. Most time it won't cost you a penny. You're just too stubborn and mean. Number three, show your love. That's what men do a lot of times. A woman says, "He don't ever show me he loves me. He don't ever show me he loves me." Here's what he says: "I pay the bills, don't I?" That's his way of thinking, "I'm showing you I love you." Shut up. Somebody tell him, "Shut up back there, please." Run back there and tell him, I said, "Be quiet." There's a bunch of kids out running around. Now listen. A husband, your final advice is, love your wife like Christ loved the church. If you're being mean to her, you're not loving her like Christ loved the church. You're not loving her like Christ loved church if you're being mean to her. If you're not forgiving her, you're not loving her like Christ loved the church. Get right with God. Start doing it. Wife, don't get mad because he can't read your mind. I know most of y'all have no idea what I just said, but that was one of the smartest things you ever heard. They get mad at you because you can't read their mind. Well, what's wrong with you? You should know. See? That's what I'm talking about. Well, how should I know if you don't tell me? Tell the retard. He can't figure you out. Don't get mad at him just because he can't know what you're thinking. You say, "Well, he should be able to know." Well, he don't. And he can't if you don't tell him. Ephesians 5:33 says that a man should love his wife even as himself. There's one for all of us men to think about. Man ought to love his wife, he loves himself. If you get something, she ought to get something. If you eat steak, she ought to eat steak. If you get a shotgun, she gets a pair of high heels. Translated, a man ought to love his wife. It's funny how he ain't never got no money when you want something. But if he wants it, he'll figure out a way to finagle around and get it. Amen. That's why the Bible said, love your wife even as yourself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let me give you this advice. God, when I'm wrong, help me to be easy to change. And when I'm right, make me easy to live with. One more time. God, when I'm wrong, help me to be easy to change. When I'm right, help me to be easy to live with. One more time, some of y'all didn't get that. God, when I'm wrong, help me to be easy to change, and when I'm right, help me to be easy to live with. Good. Be kind to people on your way up, because you're going to meet them same people on your way down. Marriage is God's plan. It's sacred, it's holy, it's right, and it's moral. Work at it. Fix it. Repair it. Just like your house. Just like your car. Every few years, your house needs painting. Every so often, the oil needs changing in your car. Your car don't just stay perfect by itself. You got to work at it. That's why we do this couples trip. It gives you, work at it. Take some time off and say, we're going to work on our relationship. Sit down. Come to me. I'll sit in there and be the mediator and keep you from killing each other. Sit down with somebody. Talk about it. I know men are the most stubborn. Women say, "We need to talk to somebody." And he'll say, "Well, we don't need to talk to nobody. We know as much about it as they do." That's the way it always is until she runs off with somebody. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there ain't no such thing as a perfect marriage since Genesis 2. But you can get as close as you possibly can get to that if a husband loves his wife and a wife reverence her husband. That's what the Bible says. Like he said, I'm preaching you the Bible. Let's stand with our heads bowed.